Hey everyone, I'm Scott Branley.
And I'm Alicia Coakley. Every member of the church has a story to share, one that can instill faith, invite growth, and inspire others.
On today's episode, we're going to hear how an arranged marriage taught one couple to follow the Lord's promptings and trust in His plan. Welcome to Latter-day Lights. Hey everyone, welcome to another edition of Latter-day Lights. We're so happy you're here with us today, and we're really excited to introduce two guests to you, a husband and wife, Stan and Aaron Gibson. How are you guys doing today?
Great.
Doing really well.
Awesome. Well, we're pretty excited too, because this is going to be a part one of a two-part story with Stan and Aaron. They have two awesome, awesome stories to share with us. This first one is going to be pretty lighthearted and kind of fun, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the second one, we're not going to give any teasers to the second one here, but you guys will just have to watch it. It is just full of miracles. So before we get into that though, hey guys, how did you guys come across Latter-day Lights? I always like asking our guests, like, how did you find us?
That's a story in and of itself, right? Kind of, because I was, you know, we talked before how we were both night owls. And so I happened to be up in the middle of the night. And I actually listened to Why I Believe on the Mormon Channel, for it's one of my favorite programs. So I had been listening to that. And then I looked on the internet and I saw your podcast, and it was very similar, right? So I listened to your podcast, one of them, and it was like 2 a.m, whatever. So I listened, felt inspired by it. And then I had to go eat, of course, in the middle of the night. So about as I'm eating, the spirit just comes in and just goes, you gotta go. You know, you invite people to, call. So
yeah,
the spirit just told me, said, oh, go. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. So I went and emailed you the stories, and that's it.
Awesome. I love it. All the only thing that story was missing was Taco Bell. You needed your 2 a.m. fix, right? I mean,
I'm sure the chips were involved.
I don't know. We're in Michigan. I don't know. The Mexican food just isn't good, and Taco Bell isn't even good. So
that it is true. But at 2 a.m., I mean,
oh, yeah.
There's not much else open.
It's a little tastier at 2 a.m., I guess, when you're tired right now.
That's probably why they advertise that, yeah.
Right, exactly.
Cool. So why don't you guys tell us a little bit about yourselves?
Go ahead, Aaron.
So Stan and Aaron Gibson, we live in Oxford, Michigan. We are in Lapeer Ward. We have 5 awesome sons and 1 little daughter. She's at the end. She is 13. And our oldest is married here, lives in Flint. And
so that little girl, I mean, Aaron, when she was a little little girl, when Aaron was a small girl, she had this dream about this little girl. So every one of our boys have been called Rachel. And so...
In utero, we're like, oh, that's our Rachel girl.
So she finally came when we were done, right? So the sixth one is a charm.
So we had the next 2 boys on missions all at the same time. And then just last week, our last Sunday, the third son,
the one the story's about,
came home and gave his homecoming talk and then sailed right back out again to work this summer.
Yeah.
So we have 2 kids at home, 2 still on missions, 2 in high school next year, and 2, 1 married.
Wow.
One
at life.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Well, I've had a couple guests before that have talked about having multiple sons. And so I'll just tell you, I don't know if you know this or not, but there's like an automatic entry into heaven when you have multiple sons. So you don't even have to try. Like,
oh, hey, all right, good.
Just in case you didn't know.
Thanks.
Well, they had 3. They had 3 at the same time. That's like,
well, I know, but 5 pass, right? Total, right? Yeah.
Well, 3 at the same time. Holy cow. That's wow. Okay.
Yeah. You win. You just won the whole lottery.
The people at the post office know us so well.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Wait a minute. I'm, yeah. Okay, go on.
That's fun.
Awesome. Well, guys, we are very interested in hearing the part one of your story. So why don't you guys take it away?
All right. I usually start this story by telling the Wayback Machine, right? So I when I was younger, I seemed to always serve the young men, right? I got off my mission. I served in the young men's program a little before my mission. Then after my mission, I came back and they immediately called me to the young men's program in my ward. Now, my ward is, this is terrible of me to say, but it was newlyweds and nearly deads, right? I mean, it was in central Ogden, which is, newlyweds.
Like every ward in Ogden.
When I came back, although there was a, when I was a young person in the, that in Ogden, I was really the only priest. You know, you're supposedly in a Utah ward, but really I was the only priest, the only deacon teacher priest. I had a few youth that come in. So I guess I didn't know the youth program very well, but I certainly got to know it after my mission when they called me to be in the young men's program. So I was never the young men's president. I was always a counselor. And like I said, it was newlyweds or nearly deads. And it was always a newlywed that came in that was called as the young men's president, right? Mm-hmm. So we did have a few youth in the ward, a number of youth. But eventually, the newlywed would come in. I would get called as a counselor. And then that newlywed would finish his school and go off. And then they'd call another newlywed. And that happened, I don't know, like four times or something like that. So At the end, you know, I was became a menace to society, right? You know, I was a little bit old, right? And so I was like, okay, it's time I need to get on the stick and get married, right? So I thought about it. So at the time I was working, three jobs and I didn't know really about the institute program at all. I mean, just call me stupid. Yeah, I am stupid. So I didn't really know that there was an actual area that I was supposed to go to and a ward. Up at the college, they had 20 wards right up there that were all meeting all day long. They had like two chapels and at Weber State. So anyway, I just knew that I needed to do something, right? So I was still in the young men's calling, so I had other callings in the ward. I was playing the piano and the priest and whatever. So I worked this job at working at the newspaper. I was delivering papers, one of my jobs, right? So I would go to work at 7 o'clock at night, and there was two runs of press runs. So I actually drove up to the Idaho border and then came back, and then redid it again. So usually I got home at like 7 a.m. or so after doing that. And then I would quickly go to the church, do my calling, do all the, it was busy on, you know, young men's callings are pretty busy, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I was in, and then I'd crash in the afternoon and then go to school early in the morning on early morning classes for college Monday morning. So that became a little bit rough for me to keep that up. Oh, and then, so I decided, I said, well, I've got to do something. So on top of that schedule right there, I added in going, just picked out one of those wards, didn't know anything, just went up there and went to a ward there. So I guess I should say the story a little bit more, because our story is not typical. So, I mean, I would say, don't use us as an example of anything. This is just our story. I mean, you just have to follow it and take what you can out of it. But anyway, so I would say, like I said, the theme of this whole story might be, you can plan out the best you can with when you're doing a lesson or doing your life or whatever. You can plan out the best you can, and you should. You should prepare all you possibly can. But when it comes to it, you just have to rely on Heavenly Father to make it happen. So anyway, given that little preface, I just said, I'm just going to do all I can to
get married.
Right. So I went up to the college.
You made a plan.
I made a plan. I made it happen. Right? So I made a plan. I was attending college, I said, oh man, this is too much. I just can't keep up this schedule, right? The three jobs, the full time in school and whatever. So one day, the bishop just called me, and he called me all the time for anything. And we owned a truck, right? We're the family in the ward with a truck.
I've been that guy.
Yeah.
Because we owned a truck, he called me all the time. I was always, you know, going to widows' houses, the nearly deads, and helping them out, right? Or whatever.
When the newlyweds.
When the newlyweds move out the nearly deads, right? So anyway, I didn't move out any nearly deads, though, but thank goodness. Oh, anyway. Okay. So it wasn't a big deal, but he would call me to come in, right? So, because I just thought it was another thing. So I walked in it was a Tuesday, I think. And so I walked in, and he met with me, and he said, well, Stan, we want to call you as young men's president. And I went, oh, right. I said, well, you know, I was really shy. I mean, I'm not shy.
But he was so shy. Painfully shy.
When it came to girls, I was like, bah. So I tell the bishop, you know, I'm like, well, you know, bishop, you know, I'd like to get married sometime, you know, you know. And he's like, well, yeah, whatever, you know, call. And then and another thing, the guy that had one of those newlyweds, right, had just been called like a month previous to that. And I said, what happened to that guy? Right. Well, what's the deal? And so I don't know. I can't remember what happened to him. But anyway, he wanted to call me as young men's president. I told him, well, I had made this decision. I had already made a decision to leave the ward and to come up to go up to the youth,
young single adult
wards. So I said, I can't give you an answer right now. Right. So I left him, and that it was just a week of torture for me to have this experience. So I went up to the college and happened to be taking a marriage and family class at the Institute, also in college classes. So his name was Brother Hall. And Brother Hall, if you're watching this, you can remember this story. He doesn't know me from anything. He didn't know me from anything then. And I just felt inspired that I needed to go talk to this Brother Hall. So about this situation, right? So I went to the college and, you know, I'm all shy and whatever. And I don't talk about dating life or anything. And so I was really nervous. I had to find his office, and oh man, my nerves were all shaking. I found his door, and I went to knock on it. He wasn't there. And I was like, oh man. Right. So I went back to college, and later in the day, I came back and I heard his voice. I was like, okay, I got to do this now. So I walk around the corner, I meet him in the hallway, and I say, hey, Brother Hall, can I talk to you for a minute, right? So he says, sure, right? So we step into his office, and I tell him my situation, and then he starts pulling out these scriptures and saying, you know, well, you do got to take care of yourself. You have to look after yourself first. And he just pulled all kinds of scriptures to bring out the point that, you know, you do have to go find a wife sometime. But as he was telling me those things, the Spirit came into the room just really strongly. And we both knew at that moment, we said that I needed to go serve those boys. And he actually said, go serve those boys. And I can think about it now. I always think about that moment, you know, when the Spirit it was just really strong. And so I was like, well, okay, right. And go serve those boys, which I did. Right. I went back to the bishop and I said, you know, I'm thinking, oh, I had a big spiritual experience, right? The bishop's going to know, right? And he just said, yeah, of course you're going to take that calling. Of course. Right? Right. So whatever. I took the calling, and I did my very best. I put the work in, and well, there were several boys. We took them to scouts or whatever. But in that thing, now this is something that you just don't normally do. You tell Heavenly Father what you want, right? And say, Heavenly Father, I want this and this and this. So I said, I made a pact with Heavenly Father. I said, you know, since I'm serving the young men's, no chances here at all. You've got to line something up. So I said, by this date, I want to be either married or on my way being married. I gave him a date, right?
Wow. Okay.
Gutsy, huh?
Yeah, gutsy. So I went along. And so and like I said, our ward was kind of dying. And matter of fact, there wasn't enough. There was a few youth, but there wasn't enough people in the ward. So we had missionaries called from North Ogden to come in and fulfill callings. Some of our bishopric was called the Servant Award. And my first counselor happened to be called the Servant Award from North Ogden. And so he had a bunch of connections with girls all over the place. And so he set me up with girls, right? And some of them worked out, some of them didn't. None of them worked out, but thank goodness. So there was one girl that I went and dated. She just happened to be, if you know where South Weber is, she was in South Weber. She was a great girl. She was, I can't remember. It might've been that guy. Yeah, anyway. Okay. So he set me up with this girl. I went out with her. I met her family. It was, anything you'd ever want, they all were strong in the church, which was a requirement, musical, everything, everything that I was looking for. Right. Mm-hmm. So I left that date that evening and I drove up South Weber Drive. And as I was driving up South Weber Drive, I just knew who I'd marry. I thought of Aaron, right? And I knew I needed a friend. So I got up to that stoplight. At the Highway 89 right there. I can remember exactly where I was. Drove back to my house. I wrote this letter. And in the meantime, Aaron's going to tell you here shortly, but I had lost track of Aaron. I met her.
I'll tell that part.
She can tell that part. But I met her and I didn't know where she was, but I wrote her a letter and I said, this is the terrible part, but I said, if you can remember who I am, why don't you come out to Utah and see if you want to marry me?
That's in quote. Those are the words used in the letter. He was getting a letter saying that.
Oh, okay.
So I knew what kind of letter that was, right? So I didn't mail it initially. I kept the letter for a month, and I later looked it up on the computer again, and I looked up and I read it over. And you know, when you write letters or write anything, you always go back and you
edit
and change it, because it's mm-hmm. When I looked at it, it was perfect. I was so impressed. I was like, oh, it's perfect.
The hand of God is in this letter.
So I didn't know Erin happens to be the world's greatest editor. She edited for, when she went to BYU, she edited for many professors and whatever. And this probably, maybe it impressed her, but it impressed me. On the bottom of the letter, I said, I didn't edit a single, I wrote this thing a month ago. I didn't change a word. I thought that impressed her. It impressed me. That's why I said it. So you can tell.
So I was really shy too. And definitely not a dater. I had been at BYU and I went on my mission, and I was about halfway through my mission when I got a new missionary from the MTC, a new companion, and I was her trainer, and her name was Sister Gibson. And she was darling and gung-ho for the work, but she just had one thing on her mind when she met me, and she kept saying, you're going to marry my brother.
That was the very first conversation she had. When she picked her up from the car, she got in the car and said, oh, you're going to marry my brother.
Yeah. And I said, wow. Gibson, you need to get your mind on the work. A couple of months later, we were doing the work. We were in the New Mexico Albuquerque mission, and we were assigned in the Four Corners area in Utah, in a little tiny place called, we were south of Blanding, called Montezuma Creek. Mm-hmm. And so we were working there, and Christmas came, and she got to make her phone call home for Christmas. And she actually said on the phone, Stan, I want you to talk to your wife, and handed me the phone.
And I was on the other end going, hello.
So I was like, Hello, brother of Sister Gibson.
Merry Christmas, Click. Yeah.
But she was determined, and I finished my mission, went back to BYU, and when Larly got off of her mission, they lived in Ogden, and I was in Provo, and she invited me up to meet her brother because, of course, we were meant to be married. And so... so I met him and he was too shy to speak to me. And they took us to this, the whole family, took me to a play and everyone sat there and they intentionally put Stan and I next to each other. And he intentionally moved over.
Oh, come on.
I was like, oh, this guy. But, so I got engaged to someone else and Larly was very upset with me, told me I ruined all her plans. And that engagement, the fellow broke that one off. And so I went away and Stan and I, right after that, we went on maybe 2 or 3 dates.
My sister got married and Aaron came up for the wedding and didn't have anybody to take care of her. So I took care of her that day.
He drove me around.
I played the piano for her. She liked that, whatever. <Yeah.
laughs> So I was done, graduated, and moved to the Midwest to prepare for graduate work. And that's when I got this letter. I had a best friend, and we would spend the weekends when we weren't working, spend together, and we were talking about how can we get our love life's going. How can we get some kind of social life going? Well, we were both in Arkansas and not very many LDS people in Arkansas, but we did everything we could with the youth there. And finally, I was, golly, I can't even remember what birthday, 26, 27. And I said, Heavenly Father, I really, really am going to let this go now. I've put my effort in and I'm going to let you, I don't want just a good guy. I want a great guy, the best guy on the planet, the one I'm supposed to marry. And the next day I got this letter in the mail.
So she was nannying at that time. So she would read letters.
Oh, well, I never got letters. So the dad came in, he was an obstetrician. He came home from work and he had picked up the mail and he's like, Aaron, it's a boy. I had my little ones around me and he's like just teasing me. And so of course I turned red and I was like, no, it's Stan. We're friends. It's my friend's brother. And I don't know why he's writing, but we're just friends. So I opened it up and I started reading out loud to prove that it wasn't a love letter. And I read, if you still remember who I am, come to Utah and see if you want to. And they were like, okay, kids, come out of the room. Come out of the room. I'll leave you alone. So I was devastated. I thought, what kind of a guy who was such a nice guy, the nicest guy I'd ever met in my whole life, such a good friend. And I thought, why would he ruin everything by wanting to get married? And he's not my type. I didn't even know what my type was. And, but oh golly. And he wasn't even done with school. And I was like,
so Aaron's friend happened to be an area authority, not that that matters or anything, but.
And his daughter was in medical school.
Yeah. So she went down to him and said, how do I let this loser down? Right.
Well, I wanted to know, but I didn't want to hurt his feelings because he was so nice. And so I had a blessing. I asked him for a blessing and Heavenly Father said, you know, you really need to go out there and talk to him. And I was like, no, I was crying. My friend was crying. Her dad was crying. We were like, wow, that's terrible. Not in a good way. We were like, oh no. So I got this, I made an excuse that I was really busy at work. And I said, listen, I'm going to get in on an airplane out of Little Rock. And I'm going to be in Salt Lake I'm going to do this after work on Saturday evening. You pick me up early well, Friday evening, pick me up early Saturday morning, like 2 o'clock at the airport, and drive me home. And I want to be back on the airplane Sunday afternoon. So I said, I'll give you a couple minutes of my time here.
So when she came out, her sisters lived out here, right? Did that first time?
Yeah, I was super irritated. So I had a sister who was serving a mission on Temple Square and a couple of sisters at BYU and one married in Orem. And I'm like, I'm going to use this opportunity to get him to just take me to all, you know, visit all my sisters. And we did.
So I dated her sisters. I never had her alone. I dated her sisters and her.
I don't know why I had this I was irritated with him. I don't know why, but I thought,
well, because they wrote this letter that was
going to test this. And I really wanted like something super romantic, like Jane Austen or, you know, and he's not romantic. And so, but turned out that sometimes kindness and love and true love is a lot deeper and more important than just these ideas of how sparkly somebody is or how pretty their is. So I put him straight to the test, and wow, he passed. It was beautiful. He went to Temple Square. We found my sister and her missionary companion, and the temple or the mission president let them go to lunch with us. He was just beautiful.
I'm earning points right now. Ooh.
Yeah. So when I flew back, I was, you know, they were asking me, of course, this family that I worked for was like, so, and I'm like, baby, I was starting to think of him in more of, you know, I started to realize, oh, maybe there's more to this.
Yeah. So finish this out a little bit here. So she had the Christmas off. And so it happened to be Christmas in Arizona. Her family moved to Arizona. So I said, oh, yeah, I'll fly to Arizona. We'll meet your family. She flew to Arizona. So I would spend a week there. And so I when Sunday, or I think it was a Sunday we flew out. But anyway, I flew in and I immediately met her extended family and her other. And I was like, okay, this is. It's interesting, right? meeting a extended family. And I think some of those family members that she hadn't even met, right? I mean, some of them.
Were just extended, like, you know, extended cousins. But the important thing was that I'm the oldest of seven girls in my family that I grew up with. We have an older brother and then me. And we were close as sisters, really, really close. And so, I figured, since I wasn't any good with guys, if they liked him, then that would be the thumbs up for me.
Oh, there you go.
And so I made sure that they did a lot of interacting. He's so shy. And here we have all these girls. He's interacting with teenagers. And one of them was married, who was visiting. But he just did beautifully. They all came back and said,
yeah. So the first part of that week, it was just kind of, we met her sisters and whatever. As the week progressed, we went from not knowing each other to getting married. So I actually knew, since I had made this deal with Heavenly Father, right? I want to be married or on my way to being married by this time. Whether it was Aaron or anybody else, I was thinking of Aaron. I went out and bought a ring, right?
you should know that letter came on the day of his deadline to the Lord. That letter came to me.
Well, see, Heavenly Father's just kind. He's very, very kind. So anyway, I had this ring and I brought it with me. And as the week progressed, I said, there was a time, I said, Aaron, do you think we could walk alone without your sisters once or twice? Right. So we did. And, Thursday, Friday, we did that. And by Saturday, we had grown really close, and I had many, we won't have to get into that, but we had many spiritual experiences there. I mean, I did. There was a time that we were sitting in the family lived in one place, and they just got me at a separate apartment, and we were sitting in my little apartment, and I could have just reached across and grabbed that ring and proposed to her right there, but I didn't. I held back, right? So I said, hey, do you think you can, meet me again tomorrow and let's do this again? So we met, and I said, I happen to be a huge fan of airplanes. And this was an old air. Her father was in the military. So he had this base housing. We were on an old Air Force base. They were just closing it down, but they still had planes out on the tarmac. So I said, let's go down on that tarmac. And they had it all lit up. For me, it's beautiful. For a plane out there shining up bright, right? Not very romantic, I know, but I thought it's the best place I know. So do you think we can go down there and, we'll talk down there? So I snuck this ring inside blankets all sneaky and said, well, it's a little cold. Let's, I throw these blankets in the back of the car and I sneak it down there. And so we drive down to this airfield, and as we're talking in there, I can't remember the whole detail, but I'm so stupid and so shy that I said, Aaron, I'd marry you if you want me to, right? What kind of crappy proposal is that? Really cruddy proposal.
But there's Stan knows that the Lord speaks for him through the Spirit.
Lucky, I mean.
I felt the spirit of that, and I didn't judge him for it.
Well, when I said that, Aaron started crying, right? And not because I proposed to her, but because she felt the spirit, and she had previously But she had had this other engagement that she was involved in, right? And that
it just never felt
way. Wrong, and it never felt good. She was just dating. She actually said to herself, I mean, you can say that.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to get married. I didn't want to graduate from BYU and not be married and go back home to New York and find, there's just no people. And I thought, this is my Utah pool base of LDS men. And what will I do if I leave here without being married? And that was living in fear. And that's not the right way to go.
She did just say, well, maybe we'll die or maybe whatever.
I was like, I'll marry him. Maybe we'll have kids, but maybe I'll get rid of him. Maybe I'll die early. He was quite a bit older than me.
Oh, no.
Right. So when she said, he actually said back to me, well, this is how it was supposed to feel, right? And when she said that, the Spirit came and testified to me that it was right. And so I said, I actually went to propose to her. And this is kind of funny. She said, hold on. So we had to go back to the apartment.
Want to get proposed to and get a ring when I was like, I really couldn't even sit still because I didn't.
So she came out and of the bathroom, and I proposed her, and she accepted. So, I mean, here's one last little thing I have to say. When we did get married, when we were dating, I actually flew back to Arkansas once with her, and we were...
had to meet the family that I was working for.
Yeah, and I helped them with their building. They were adding onto their place. Anyway, when we were out one evening, Aaron and I, we had a feeling that we knew each other before we were born, right? That we knew our up in heaven. It just came to us that was the case. And when we got sealed in our sealing, the sealer actually said, you knew each other. We just looked at each other. We know that, right?
It's
something we don't know. But the fact is, this whole story is just like I said, you can plan all you want in your life, right? And it's ultimately Heavenly Father's plan. Now, this is an arranged marriage, and we say it's arranged because it's arranged from heaven, right? It's arranged from God. I mean, my dad, when I got married, when Aaron came back, she said, well, when do you want to get married, right? I proposed to her, and when do you want? She got a commitment for this. For her work. She had a date in August.
I had to be there till the infants turned two. I was there when they were first born, and they wanted to keep a nanny with them who would be consistent till they were two.
Right. Mm-hmm. So she said, well, the day after, she got off, and my dad to say, well, when she gets her, don't you want to don't you want to get to know her for a little while? And Erin says, well, if we know it's right, it's right. Right. So she got back and we got married, and bing, bang, boom, here we are 20-30 years later, whatever it's been. But like I said, it's ultimately Heavenly Father's plan. And I mean, ours isn't the typical love story. You normally don't write letters and say, hey, come marry me. Maybe, I don't know. There's some cult like that, but it's not a typical thing. But it's beyond the veil is there, right? It's just Heavenly Father is there and he loves you. He loves two crazy people, right?
I think that he meant for us in heaven. It was meant that we have our family unit and that we start in our work on earth and that our family has a work to do. And we didn't know it then. And it was scary waiting and graduating and not thinking that, I'm just knowing I am so shy. If I didn't date at BYU, then where am I going to date? Like literally, that's a whole nother story. But so I was scared that I wouldn't get married, but I always felt like I really needed to be married and have a family. I felt like that was supposed to be my life's journey. And so it was a real blessing to pray about it and have Heavenly Father's his stamp of approval on our marriage. It helped through hard times because every marriage has hard times. Yeah. And right. When we went through hard times, we could always say, well, we didn't pick each other. So it's not like we made a mistake. We were put together on purpose and that's not a mistake. And so let's just power through this. And always we were able to get through the hard times that way.
Yeah. And you, like I said, I don't want to live in fear and Erin doesn't want to live in fear. You just have to go forward and trust. You can plan the very best you can. I'm repeating myself, but you can plan the best way you can, but you have to do what Heavenly Father has you do. I mean, he wants you to be happy, right? He wants us to be happy, right? I mean, ours, like I said, not the typical. You can't just say, because there's lots of companions that aren't blessed the way we were to have that kind of experience. But right. Heavenly Father does know you, and he does want you to have happiness. And you just have to be willing to follow his example. I mean, follow his advice, right? As close to spirit. Right. Do it. All right. So there you go.
Following this plan hasn't been easy. Like I said, bringing our kids into the world, they came really quickly. And we started our family force. And I guess we can talk about more of that in the next video.
I think your story is super fun. And it's really interesting to see what God has in store for each of us, right?
Yeah.
So what do you have any last thoughts or... Oh, maybe Alicia, do you have anything you want to say before they share their last thoughts?
Actually, yeah. It's funny because, okay, I don't know if you guys have seen one of our very first episodes with Cameron Daly. Right. Scott, you know where I'm going with this. You guys, I am not gonna spoil any of it. I'm gonna tell our listeners too. If you guys have not listened to Cameron Daly's story, after hearing your story, I was thinking about so many similarities. And how Erin, you had to pee and you held off on the engagement, right? Cameron took a whole different route.
Oh, I can't wait to see it.
Whole different route. So you guys have to go. But it's funny because you actually said, you know, when it's right, like, why would you wait? Right. And that was something that kind of reminded me of Cameron's story too, of his love story too, was they, you know, they had all of these other circumstances where they were going to wait for an extended period of time before they could get married in the temple. But they were given that same advice. If you know it's right, why are you going to wait? You know, like, do you think that the blessings are going to come any differently to you for following the promptings that you've got to go ahead and to get this marriage, you know, sealed and ready to go, and or not sealed, but you know what I mean? Like, to put it in a place, even though maybe everything is not exactly the way that you think that it should be, right? And so I love that you said that, because it's almost like it's just like this affirming teaching from Heavenly Father, you know, like when you know it's right, don't wait. And I think that
I was already a menace to society, so
time's ticking.
You know, yeah, in my situation, and I don't know about you, Scott. I don't actually know you and Darla's story, so I'm gonna have to ask you about that in some.
So I actually broke up with her because I still wanted to date, and then I realized I was an idiot. Turd. So then I. we got back together and so.
Wow. I'm going to need to.
This topic is fun now, and it's timely now because of Elder Oak's recent talk with the youth of the church, the young single adults last Sunday. And really to boil down what he said was get out there, start having dates, date more often, date intentionally, get married. Mm-hmm. Don't wait. Have children. Bring your family to Earth. And those things are all scary. They're all things that our youth, like now having 4 grown sons who are marriageable and not the ones on missions, but who are ready to get married and when married and ready to have kids. Those choices are difficult and to be made. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, to be made with the Spirit only. Everyone's got to have their own revelation, right? Like President Nelson said, we will get through these last days with personal revelation.
Yeah, just move forward with faith. I mean, and no fear, right? And trust in Heavenly Father because He wants the best for you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I know even in my own marriage, you know, I got married pretty quickly when I met my husband, and he wasn't even a member of the church. And we had a really rocky 13 years starting out, almost got divorced. And through a series of events, now we're sealed in the temple together with our kiddos. And, you know, he holds the Melchizedek priesthood. And we talk about all of these churchy things that I never knew how it would work out. But had I waited, you know what I mean? Like I would have missed out on a lot, but because I had inspiration to move forward and to go ahead and marry him, even though the situation wasn't perfect, you know, I think that we both were able to grow a lot as individuals, but also together. And now we have a lot of substance in our marriage. You know, like we have a lot of things that we can fight for. I really love that you kind of go back on the whole, hey, like you knew that it was right then, right? So you're going to keep fighting for it because it still makes it right now. Right. Yep. And so I appreciate you guys' insight on that. I think that that's,
he puts up with me, right?
You put up with each other. And like you said, there's a lot of substance there. There's so much in our marriage and in our friendship. So our friendship always grew, you know, we were always good friends, and that has just grown, you know, throughout, how many years? 25, 26 years? Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
We're old. I'm just saying.
So now, how old were you guys when you got married? You said about 26 or 27, Aaron?
You were 28 already.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just turning 27.
Yeah.
Really, really, almost a menace to society. Really close.
Yeah. That I... You know,
and look, that's wrong for the standards of the world today.
Right.
But for me growing up in an LDS family, and Stan also, we were in my mind, I was seeing everything pass me by. And that was really, that was really hard for me. And it took a lot of faith. And eventually I think it was, Heavenly Father was waiting for me to learn to give everything to Him. And trust. And that set up my whole life for what was to come with the kids. Because that's required ultimate trust in Heavenly Father.
You know what else I love, Aaron, is you said that, you know, you were kind of annoyed because like he wasn't your type, right? Like you're like, seriously, like Heavenly Father, like I wanted the romance and the, you know, all the things. And then I just get this really great, incredible, nice guy. Because I think it's so funny because we women, we do that, right? Like we're like, we just want to be romanced and we just want everything to be, you know, puppies and rainbows. And sometimes it's just, you know, hey, I switched the laundry out for you or something. You know what I mean? Like sometimes it's just like, hey, I hung out with your family with you. a whole bunch.
But after the first couple of years of marriage, really those things that stick around, the laundry and putting up with my sisters, that's what makes a lasting marriage. Because, you know, we both get old and a little chubby, and that's just
not, I mean, look at this face. She keeps up with this.
Okay, it's okay, though, because our eyesight gets worse, too. So we can't even really see each other in that state. It's totally fine. Like, Darla looks at Scott, and she's convinced that he's got a full head of hair, right?
So... Oh, boy.
Scott loves me. It's okay.
I don't know.
I just tell her to take her glasses off all the time. We're good.
Exactly. Just walk around. Just be blind. It's okay. There you go. They do say love is blind, awesome. Right? So there's that. So the older you get, the more blind you are, the more in love you get to be, right? Makes sense.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh.
And blindness is a really big part of the next part of our story.
Oh, yeah. There you go. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, we're going to ask you, before we go into the next part of the story, we'll go ahead and just ask you guys, do you have any final thoughts for this episode? Anything that you'd like to leave with our listeners?
No, other than just that simple thing, you know, just trust in God and he ultimately will make you happy. Life is tough, right? And you're going to face many challenges and trials, but just be faithful through them all, you know, and know that the eternal Heavenly Father's got the eternal view for you. You know, you just have to trust and don't let fear rule you. Let faith rule you. Right.
Yeah.
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 Awesome.
So there you go. I mean, I still need to learn that question myself. I still need to learn
that. It's a lifelong lesson.
It is. Because, it's easier said than done, right?
Because as soon as you learn to have faith in this level, then he gives you this level trials. Then you have to learn to be here, and then you're here.
But just do it. Just try. A final thing. You know, the Emperor's New Groove is one of our favorite shows. The Emperor, and he's falling over. They look and they say, "Waterfall ahead, sharp rocks at the bottom." Well, bring it on. Right?
Yep.
Yeah. That's what you have to do, right?
That's a perfect way to end this part and start the next part, because that was our motto for moving into life together. It's not easy. Bring it on.
We'll show you a few of them.
Cool. Oh, so cool.
All right. Well, thanks for being on this episode. To our viewers, stay tuned for part two of the story. And it has to do with one of your sons on his mission, and it's pretty intense. So, but we really appreciate you being on the show. And, you know, if you have a story that you'd like to share, go to latterdaylights.com, just like Stan and Aaron did, and let us know so you can be on the show. And let's share your light with the rest of the world.
Absolutely. And you guys, we're going to call you out. Make sure you guys spend 5 seconds and just do your 5-second missionary work. Click the share button on this episode. Let's go ahead and get Stan and Aaron's part one story out to the rest of the world so they can share their light with everyone else, and kind of put a smile on the faces of those who are able to listen to it. With that, guys, Stan, Aaron, thank you for being guests right now. We're excited to hear your part two, which we will be airing next week. So, listeners, be sure that you guys tune in for that. Anything else, Scott? Think we're good?
No, I think we're good. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll talk to you guys next Sunday. Till then, all right. Take care.
Bye. See ya.
Bye.